Hello and welcome back to the Good News Show with some news on the views with me, Peter Cooper, and my esteemed colleague, the very, very unreverend James Byers.
Yes, I've had my reverence removed last week. I'm still recovering, but apart from that, I'm well. How are you?
Yes, I'm glad you're recovering from the surgery. Dwindling population of Middle East Christians experiencing accelerated targeting. This is a serious subject, and especially since not only is this terrible in its own right, but the Middle East, of course, is where Christianity comes from. To see Christianity dwindling there, that's very sad to see, isn't it?
It is. We've got a report here from ChristianHeadlines.com. Mm-hmm. Just like you say, it's the birthplace of Christianity, and in fact the birthplace of Jesus himself. It says here, civil war in Syria and Iraq has unleashed a tidal wave of violent persecution. This targeted the highly vulnerable Christian population to the extent that this targeted persecution is now widely recognized around the globe. Now, I would say finally to that, because it's been going on for a long time, but it's not really reported. You kind of have to look for stories to tell you about it. Apparently, according to this, estimated 50 and 80% have left of Christians have left Syria and Iraq, respectively, which is a shame, because they're the kind of places that need Christ the most. That's quite alarming.
Yes. It is interesting that the story isn't being covered. In fact, I think that's one of the big stories about this, that it doesn't make the headlines of mainstream media. I mean, we've gone online and have this interesting article, but you don't see it headlining major news. And yet, this is possibly the most persecuted group currently, Christians in the Middle East. So why isn't it being covered? My theory is that it's our old friend, political correctness gone mad. Obviously we should be ashamed of our Christian heritage, instead of being proud of the way that Christians have contributed to world culture and caring for minority groups, and how the missionaries of Christianity brought civilization and good drains and all the other things to good roads and railways to parts of the world. Instead of celebrating that, we have to be ashamed of our Christian heritage. And so that's what it feels that the mainstream media are saying, in that when it does happen to Muslims, if Muslims are targeted by their more extreme Muslim friends, then, of course, it's big news, as it should be. Of course, that should be news. That's not the problem we're having. The problem is that the Christian stuff isn't really covered.
It says here, groups such as, they're not Islamic State, let's call them what they are, Daesh, animals, idiots. It says they're working for the religious cleansing of Iraq and, of course, the rest of the region, and making it purely Islamic. But you see, the trouble is, pure Islamic, well, it's from Satan, basically.
Yes. Pure that's Islam, basically what yes. equals pure evil, right?
Yes. And it says the Christians have been denied full freedom in Iraq and Syria, especially those who chose to follow Christianity from a Muslim background. And of course, we know this, but like you say, it's as if, people want to do something about it, quite rightly. But like you say, if you mention Christianity or the Christian heritage, it's sort of be hush hush or quietened down or not even mentioned, really. And there's a report called Hope for the Middle East, the Impact and Significance of the Christian Presence in Syria and Iraq, Past, Present, and Future. aims to encourage national and international actors to ensure the current and future legal frameworks in Syria and Iraq. I don't think they mean actors.
No, although I did have conjure up thoughts of, say, Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to bring about peace in the region.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I'll be back. Yeah, I mean, but no. It's a funny term, isn't it? Actors being people responsible for whatever's happening. I guess that's what it means. So So we have a serious situation there. We need to see it reported more widely, and of course, we bring it to you here on the Good News Show, news about this persecution, and we'll continue to follow it and pray for what I suppose we should call our brothers and sisters out there in the East, where we gained Christianity from originally. And so we should continue to pray for them. Now, let's have a look at what's going on over in Augusta. Now, they've been getting together with a March for Jesus. Now, I remember the March for Jesus taking place in the late 90s and up until the year 2000, which was the sort of culmination, wasn't it? A big March for Jesus all over the world. And it really stopped after that, as a movement. But it looks like it's carrying on in some places. It's got the same title, and they're doing the same thing. I guess they got their inspiration from the original March for Jesus. I remember the one in Britain. I remember being at a big event, and you had Gerald Coates, who's one leader of one of these independent church groups, and Roger Forster, I think that's the guy with a beard. Anyway, leading this worship session with loads and loads of young people there, and them looking, rather portly and aging. But it didn't matter. Great enthusiasm, and a little bit of reminiscence of that. On that occasion, when I walked round, I guess it was Hyde Park. I can't picture exactly where it is, but it walked round the corner on the walk, there was a guy on the corner saying, repent of your sins, believe in Jesus. And he looked at the people going past, do you believe in Jesus? He obviously hadn't a clue what was going on. And they looked at him as though he was mad and said, yes. And then he looked around and the people behind said, we do too. And, joining in there. And the strange thing was, he looked a bit crestfallen actually. Suddenly he couldn't share it to people. Maybe it was just the shock of it, but suddenly there were thousands of people all believing in Jesus going past him, and he hadn't known it was happening. So it was a bit of a shock to the system.
All individuals. Yes, we are all individuals. Yes. I'm not.
Yes.
No, I think this is great, though.
Quote from Monty Python, folks.
Yes, life of Brian. But the thing is, I'm on a sort of, I won't say a smaller scale because we had hundreds, but our little marches in our old church and parish, we used to have all our local churches together marching through our local town, and you'd get upwards of 500. It was great. Now, we only sort of did it at Easter weekend, but I was thinking back now, this needs to start happening again. I'm not necessarily thinking I'm the one to initiate it, but I would certainly love it to happen again, certainly.
Yeah, some sort of public demonstration, yeah. So it's happening in Augusta.
Augusta, Georgia. There's a quick quote here. It says, this is not a protest march, says Mr. Cleve Walker. It is a proclamation march. Simply said, there are many, many people who honour the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And speaking of many, many people, we're going to take a very quick trip to Brazil.
Yes, and I believe it goes on regularly there, doesn't it?
600,000 Christians held a march for Jesus. Saturday just gone, and this Augusta march is happening this Saturday coming.
Right,
So it's an annual event, so great. You gave a quote to me earlier, so I'll read it here. Evangelicals have grown from 5'2" to 28'. No, yeah. Sorry, 5.2%. Yes.
Yes, that's more meaningful, but not as funny. Yeah.
In 92, 28% today. So it's taking a while, but they're getting there. 57% of Brazil call themselves Catholic, down from 92% in 1970. Imagine everyone being called Catholic.
Yes.
You get very confusing.
Hello, Catholic. How you doing? I'm all right, mate. Yes. Yeah. How's Catholic? Oh, he's doing well. Yeah.
Yeah. If this is Catholic, he's in charge of the sheep dip.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. But yes, that's interesting that it's gone down. I mean, that could just be due to people not saying that they're Catholic. They don't self-identify as Catholic, but actually they are. That could be the case. It's difficult with surveys. But yeah, we're big fans, of course, of evangelicals here, because evangelical means they're Bible-believing Christians, believing in telling others about Jesus. So that's good. But I'm just saying it's not the case that there are no Catholics. Many Catholics also do that. But the official position of the church on many issues, like many from non-Catholic churches, I would have problems with. But I wouldn't say that all of that 57% are not believers, because they're not part of an evangelical denomination. Mm. So I think it's probably more, is what I'm saying, more born-again believers than that 28%.
Yeah, but I'm going to certainly be looking at any YouTube videos of this, and I'll be checking out the Augusta March next weekend.
Yeah.
And it's everyone else, just have a look. Or if you're in Augusta, as we know, we have listeners over the pond. Get down to Augusta and get on the march.
Yeah. Yep. And so, in fact, the majority of our listeners were over there in the good old US of A. So, it's interesting times, isn't it? But don't you sometimes think, James? Don't you sometimes think that actually we're just part of some computer program or computer game, and nothing's actually real? And you could say we're just living in the Matrix.
Well, I would like to say I think so, but then I'm not sure if they're my own thoughts or not anymore.
Oh yes, good point.
I'm not sure whether I've taken the red pill or the blue pill. Or whether I should be prescribed different pills altogether. But since René Descartes formulated his famous dictum, I think, therefore I am, philosophers have been wrestling. You'd thought they'd have been philosophizing, but no, they're going for the title, steel cage match.
Yes, it's much better.
Anyway,
yeah. That Socrates, he's got a real good left hook. No, that's boxing, isn't it? I'm getting confused. Yes, I think I am. Good man. Yeah.
Question of how we can know what it is we think we know is really real. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of decades, pop culture has also been wrestling with questions. Well, now this is that theory that we're all controlled, and it's sort of invoking the Matrix movie, which we both said we loved the first one, but I think our consensus was they've probably done many of them.
Yes. I mean, but this, it perhaps isn't a place for a review of a movie from 17 years ago, but I would say the Matrix, absolutely excellent movie, good pacing, so brilliant, stylistically brilliant. I suppose that's the biggest thing about it. But the I thought the sequel was rubbish, and the third one was even worse. It sort of went downhill. And also a popular film that has that big idea, interesting idea. So all in all, a great film. And that idea of choosing the red pill has been part of culture now. Do you choose the red pill or the blue pill and go back into blissful ignorance?
That's it. Because if you haven't seen The Matrix, well, where have you been? But basically the premise is a man discovers his whole life has been lived in a virtual prison that simulates the real world. Mm-hmm. And he goes through... There's different sorts of worlds within a world, because he's trying to get to a certain place and a certain point in time, yet he can't quite get through. And he keeps wondering whether he is the one. And he has this guide, a chap called Morpheus. And the first pill, he gets the choice. It will free him from this sort of unreal world. And the second pill, he's sort of trapped in it forever. But there's this idea that this is actually real.
Yes.
That we are controlled and we're not in a reality at all. Or if we are, it's we don't have choice. We don't have free will. Now, to me, that's sort of a bit David Icke-ish. Obviously, as a Christian, I don't believe that. But I've got to say, I absolutely love these kind of theories. They fascinate me. But my question is, if we're all being controlled, if we're all having our thoughts determined, and if nothing is really real, and if we have no choice, these people that say that, how do they know?
Yeah, well, yes. How do they know? And couldn't they come up with something better? I mean, if we are living in the Matrix, then I think they need a graphics update. That's what I'm saying. I think it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, they could have some... You could come up with something more interesting. Sure. Or maybe not. Maybe not. Some sunsets look quite good.
There's a report from the Independent, a paper over here, and it must have been a slow news day, because they've reported that two anonymous billionaires from Silicon Valley out in California, which is basically, I suppose, computing central for the West, they're pouring money into a project to break us free from a real-life matrix, if we're living in one. Yes. Although the details of the project are unclear, because basically they haven't got a clue what they're doing. but we know it involves a team of scientists and some of the richest, most influential innovators in America. Yes, but again, if we're living in an unreality, who is to say what is real? How do these people know?
Yes, it's strange, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's strange. And the obvious thing, which has been pointed out by Oz Guinness, saying, you know, you get these rich scientists that want to pull their rich science fans, or maybe scientists want to pour their money into finding a way out of this materialistic universe, when they're not looking at the obvious answer. Why does it feel as though the whole thing's been designed? Well, maybe it's because it has been. Maybe reality's been designed. That's the most obvious answer, the simplest answer, is that God has designed things this way. It's not that we're living in the Matrix, unless, of course, it's God's Matrix, and he's made it. But he has created a real world. But there is sort of like a mathematical basis for the real world. So it is like a Matrix. It's just that the idea of the Matrix is that it's something that isn't real. But no, it's like that, but it's actually real. That's what reality is. And the maths behind reality are very, very complex, as you'd expect, and they're different from how we operate. You know, you think of how a natural curve goes in this strain, this particular type of hyperbolic curve. But it's got certain numbers as a basis for how it operates, like a computer program. So we're in the Matrix, and God's the computer programmer. There's a good illustration for a sermon.
Absolutely. Although, being back in that time, I'm glad I don't have to go back to Windows 98.
Yes.
But I'll just finish with this last quote. It says, and this is pretty much says it all, really. But in Christianity, and you probably just said the same thing, we don't have to break out of some matrix before we can know and experience transcendence. In our faith, the one who, now that's what they say about Neo, his name is, you're not the one, kid, who is transcendent, he broke into our reality and purchased for us everlasting life. Besides being true, that's just a much better story than anything coming from Hollywood, Silicon Valley, or any other town in California.
Yes, I think that's true. And what's more, Neo, he couldn't even spell one, could he? He got the letters mixed up. So that's just... now, what do you think's going to happen to the world? I mean, would you wish that a giant meteor would just come and destroy the whole bally lot of them and set us free. I mean, I'm talking, of course, of politics, specifically politics in the good old US of A, where they're having a very interesting presidential election season with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump fighting out. One of them, one of those two people, it seems, will be president in a few weeks' time. In fact, we've got a debate coming up very shortly after this goes live. So maybe there'll be a quick turn. Maybe Donald Trump will put in a brilliant performance and not sniff too loudly into the microphone. Maybe Hillary Clinton will remember all her lines and remember to tell the moderator what questions to ask her. You know, maybe all that will happen and it'll be a brilliant debate. Well, you know, wouldn't it be better if we didn't have to? Maybe there's a way. Maybe if a giant meteor landed on the Earth and just blew the whole thing up, we could just escape from having to make the decision. Well, I don't anyway. But if you're American, that's the question put in this article we were looking at, in ChristianHeadlines.com. You can go and have a look at the original, which says, "Do you wish a giant meteor would destroy the Earth?" It's an interesting concept, isn't it? Is it better? Would it be better for us just to all just end it now? Or would it be better to have Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton as president of the most powerful country on Earth?
It's not my easy. Immediate answer would be yes, it would.
Oh, right. Okay.
To end it.
What if the meteor just landed on America and destroyed America? Would that be better?
Well, if I could pinpoint a very specified coordinate, then maybe. I won't say who. Yes. I'm not going to try and influence.
Well, I was thinking maybe the debate stage just in front of the moderator.
Yes.
Where the two candidates are located.
Now, before the CIA start. You know, they're probably tracking us anyway.
Yeah,
we're not advocating a real meteor.
No.
I'm just not saying I wouldn't mind if it did.
No.
But I'm not advocating it.
No. In fact, we don't have a meteor. We don't own one, do we?
No.
I mean, reports of us having a giant rock and hurling it towards America are greatly exaggerated. That is not the case.
So before the black
zombie
outside both our houses.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, with it's okay, it's a stupid question, yes, so
yes,
we're being stupid
is.
About it. But it says here nearly one in four young Americans would rather have a meteor destroy the Earth than see either of them in the White House.
Yes.
Now, they can go into the White House, there's nothing wrong with them visiting, but as long as they leave a bit later on.
Yes.
You know,
one thinks of them visiting the White House sort of in chains, maybe, or some sort of jacket to stop them from doing anything crazy.
Absolutely. But for many, it says the election can't get here soon enough. Election stress disorder is now a new thing they're saying. But I think, you know, I think our planet is so screwed up. I don't want the world to end, but I think in some ways we don't need a meteor. We're doing a bad enough job ourselves, you know, in many, many parts of the world. But I think really, and again, this isn't a political show, but my own personal opinion, you know, I watched the second debate and it was a mixture. It was just a complete, you know, I mean, Trump was a complete bully. And I think Clinton, I actually quite liked some of what she had to say, but again, that's not an endorsement. But I just think, you know, for me, I think Clinton is best of a bunch. But, you know, I think out of all the billions out there, that's the choice.
Yes.
It's a red or a blue pill, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, it is, yes. Do you choose the red pill? No, which colour's which? I can't remember. Is it red Republican? Yes, so...
Yeah.
Do you choose the red pill and wake up to the fact that it's the rich people who rule the show, I guess, or do you take the blue pill and surrender to the lies of platitudes of the Democrat Party. It does fit quite well, actually. We are living in the Matrix, and it's current day politics in America.
But this is where we certainly need to pray, because obviously, as I've just said, I don't want the media to destroy the earth. But no, I mean, this is where we, because the world is a very scary, very dangerous place, increasingly more so, mixed with being a lovely and beautiful place. At least it certainly could be, and a lot of it still is. But it's just becoming increasingly tense and unstable. And quite frankly, I don't see the elections in November helping very much.
No,
it's quite scary.
Yeah, and as we draw to a close of this show, perhaps we ought to just remind ourselves, everyone, that actually Jesus is in charge. Jesus is Lord, so we can pray for whoever becomes president, that they will become wiser as they take on this responsibility, turn to God for help, and be transformed by the power of Jesus to be a good leader. Miracles can happen. And so as we lift to the Lord the fate of America, and pray that the debate, I mean, as we're recording this, the debate hasn't happened, so pray that it will be more elucidating and less pejorative and insulting than the last one. And we pray for the blessings upon all of our listeners, but especially, because they seem to need it at this time, upon our American cousins. But from all of us here at the Good News Show, blessings to you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.